Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers, not such a great night against the Clippers, but they get excellent news about Anthony Davis and his return. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcast. It's always going to be free for you. It's never going to be behind a paywall. And of course, Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go and have been going. Thank you very much, especially over the last week or so with this Rui Hachimura business. Big community of Lakers fans there, all talking trades, all talking, this prospects of the Lakers getting to the playoffs and making some noise. Want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. A lot to get to over the course of today's show, especially with the Lakers playing again tonight against the Spurs. So Anthony Davis, really good reports on him. Could be back for Wednesday's game. Andy, according to Dave McMenamin, if there's no setbacks, will be back on a 20 to 25 minute minutes restriction for that game. So that's huge news. Rob Pelinka said some stuff about trades and what might be coming. We want to cover that, but let's start with the game, Andy.
Rui Hachimura, by the way, is expected to play on Wednesday.
Yes, did not play against the Clippers on Tuesday. I made the joke when we had Darian Vaziri on for Tuesday's show to preview this game that this might be the season. Maybe the Lakers and the Clippers play in the play-in or something like that. They might not want to do that, Lakers. It's now 10 straight that the Clippers have beaten the Lakers. They win this game 133-115. The Lakers, I guess, tried to do that thing like they did against Portland where you fall behind and stage the dramatic comeback. Not so easy against a Clippers team that suddenly looks a lot better with all their roster intact.
Yeah, if there's one thing we learned in this game, it's that the Clippers are way the hell better than the Blazers. This game got away early from the Lakers. Like the Clippers in the first quarter hit a barrage of threes to create separation, and they never let up. They shot 50% from behind the arc. Five Clippers had two or more threes. So that's 10 right there, not even getting into the guys who hit three, four, one. Like they were just bombing, and it's not even that. They were often just hitting timely threes, back-breaking threes. It seemed like every time the Lakers started to get a little bit of a push, the Clippers would come up with a three. It felt like every time the Lakers had either a turnover or a bad miss, the Clippers found a way to get a three out of it. They were just knocking them down from
Andy, the Clippers were plus eight on threes in the first half. And I don't mean plus eight in terms of points scored off three-pointers. I mean plus eight in three-pointers made. And the Lakers had seven of them in the first half. So it's not like there was one of those halves where the Lakers had like two three-pointers, like two of 19. No, there were seven.
Lakers shot 40% from three in this game. Yeah,
Lakers got better as it went along.
It was very LaFront loaded too. LeBron was 9 of 14.
Yeah, it was. And LeBron played really well. But the Clippers had 24 more points at the half just off three-pointers than the Lakers did. And that is a very tall mountain to climb. You see what the Clippers are supposed to look like with George and Leonard in the lineup, and Norman Powell's been playing very well, and they got a good game from Reggie Jackson, which hasn't been happening much. And then you add that, Andy, to the fact, and again, this is part of the reason the Clippers have won 10 straight against the Lakers. The shorthandedness of the Lakers, I think, was more felt in this game than it probably has been in those, in these couple weeks since Reeves and Walker joined Anthony Davis on the sidelines. Clippers are a bad matchup for the Lakers anyway, with all their wing depth. And the Lakers don't have any dudes. They just didn't have any dudes.
No, this was a game where it was really evident why the Lakers traded for a human being Rui Hachimura sized. I mean, they, we've been talking all season about the need for more guys like him, but this specific matchup, I mean, you could really see it. Like the Lakers began the game with Patrick Beverley assigned to Kawhi Leonard. And as I tweeted out at Cam Brothers, Patrick Beverley was going to need a ladder to guard Kawhi. And by need a ladder, I mean to hit Kawhi with.
Like pro wrestling style.
Yes, like to use this ladder to knock Kawhi over. Because like it just, you know, Pat's going to do his best. But I mean, that's absurd. Like on its face, that's just ridiculous. But, you know, you don't want to start LeBron that
Kawhi way. Kawhi sees that and says, it's apple time.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you don't want to start that way. And like, you know, if you put Troy Brown on him, I mean, it's not really any more practical having Patrick Beverley on Paul George.
No, like, I mean, and we saw it. It just didn't work. I mean, and there were moments, there were a couple times Pat Bev got in there and, you know, the problem is the Lakers had to very aggressively start doubling on players, and the Clippers moved the ball well and the other guys were hitting threes and it just didn't work. Like there are games where you just kind of get your ass kicked. And like, this was one of them. Like, you know, the Lakers tried to make a game of it in the second half, but it really drove home why the Lakers. Now is Rui Hachimura specifically the type of person that solves these problems? It's a big ask, but at the very
least,
he
definitely addresses them.
Right. At the very least, he gives you the option of putting a player out on the floor who fits the need of what you want. And then unlike somebody like Wenyan, who had a really strong first half, one of the only players in the Lakers who, aside from LeBron, who was really giving them a lot, I think, in that first half, Wenyan isn't a shot creator. He is a, you know, he'll clean up messes. He gets offensive rebounds, had four offensive rebounds in the first half. Hachimura has the ability to create a little bit offensively and score a little bit. And that at 6'8", he now gives them a second wing, you know, LeBron being the other, who can do that because Troy Brown is sort of a catch and shoot guy at his best, but he doesn't create his own offense, and JTA doesn't create his own offense, and
JTA doesn't create offense.
No, I mean, like a little passing, he can create.
Right, that. But I mean, look, JTA is likely not going to play once Hachimura's in the rotation,
and so it gives you the optionality, and you know, the hope is that Hachimura will increase his level of defense, both thanks to just the enthusiasm that comes from being on a new team. That happens a lot. But then also just being around guys like LeBron, guys like Anthony Davis, they're sort of the structure that the Lakers are developing. They're hoping that they can tap something on a consistent basis defensively. But at the very least, you need a 6'8" body for games like this to put on the floor to try to defend credibly a team like the Clippers.
Yeah, or just to hit the glass. The Lakers got crushed in this game on the glass. And, you know, it's been a topic for the last, you know, season and change where we are, Russell Westbrook. And you and I have both maintained that he can be an overblown talking point. We devoted an entire show about how this season, on balance, he has been easily better. You know, he's easily been more good than bad. This was a game though where Russ, he didn't just have a bad game because, you know, that happens. He was reckless with his bad game. Like he was reckless with his shot selection. He only had two turnovers, but he was reckless.
Third quarter, what was it? Three straight possessions where like nobody else touched the ball. It was just
Russ
dribbling. And then, you know, but the Lakers got to within 10. And Westbrook made a really, this is, you know, careless pass, you know, turnover, trying to just inbound the ball from the baseline. It was stolen and eventually converted by Kawhi for an and one. And that was the game. That was really the last opportunity for the, but this is sort of what I was talking about when I was saying, like, another reason you could feel how shorthanded the Lakers were, because if Lonnie Walker was available, if Hachimura was, you know, dressing, and if Austin Reeves was available, Russ wouldn't have been in.
No,
I don't think Darvin would have been playing him.
No, he took him out actually for a while in the fourth. And I think because the Lakers were playing from behind and nobody other than LeBron, who had 46 in this game, by the way, LeBron now has had 40 points against every NBA franchise. The Clippers were the last one that he hadn't done it to. That's amazing.
It's pretty impressive.
That is amazing. But nobody else was really providing a threat of offense. So as much as Russ was, again, not scoring particularly well himself and really playing carelessly, I can see why Darvin wanted to try to give it another go. But as you pointed out, if Lonnie's available, if Austin's available, you know, obviously if AD's available.
I don't think he's on the floor. Yeah.
Right.
One other thing that Darvin did that I thought was smart. Once the game, Lakers made a push. Clippers pushed it back up to about, I think it was 16, 17 points or whatever it was, with about 5 minutes to go. Darvin, at a timeout, pulled everyone, and put in, you know, the Swider, JTA, Pippen, and Damian. Poor Damian Jones has been relegated in this group. You know,
and Ham called out Damian. Damian's looking around like, "Who's Damian? Oh, it's me,
dude." I'm not even wearing shorts under my pants here. I got to run back to the locker room. But that was a smart move with the Lakers playing tonight in a really important game against the Spurs. Like, this is before you get out on this road trip to have a game against a bad Spurs team. They're just bad. They're young. They play hard. Blah 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 blah. All the platitudes, but they're bad. And so you got to win this game. And with AD coming back, which we'll get to next, really, is that both an opportunity, but it also makes the game a little trickier because he's back. You're excited about that, but he's on a minutes limit. So smart of Darvin to pull the starters and ensure that really LeBron can play tonight, barring anything weird. But let's talk about Anthony Davis. Good news about AD. Good news about Austin Reeves as well. So we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by FanDuel and the NFL playoffs. We are in the midst of them, and we are so excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they are the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. Stay tuned. I'll explain why. They have so many great features that make betting on sports easy and fun. New customers, you guys, join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed just for placing your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to the point spread to the player props, you know, that fun stuff. Plus, you can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, easy to use. So football fans, do not miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Dave McMenamin at ESPN reports LA Lakers star big man Anthony Davis will return to the lineup Wednesday versus San Antonio, barring any setback during his pregame warm-up, league sources told ESPN. Probably Anthony Davis, who I think qualifies as a league source, but we'll see. He will be back in the lineup 5.5 weeks after suffering a fractured bone spur and stress reaction in his right foot. Dave continues, Davis will be on a 20 to 24 minute restriction, easing back from an injury that had some medical personnel projecting an 8 to 10 week recovery timeframe. I will admit, he is back faster than I thought he would have been. It's been a long 5.5 weeks, Andy, but I certainly would have been one of those people guessing that it would have been closer to that 8 week mark rather than 5.5.
Well, I certainly didn't think, even when reports were coming out about the possibility of it being this week, I thought it was going to be in the weekend, just because I thought that they were going to want to see him with a full practice under his belt or something resembling a full practice, because the Lakers don't play Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, but they have been doing those, like, whatever they call them, like, you know, the stay ready group scrimmages, sure, where like they're going full speed. It's just not with the whole team. It's with reserves and assistant coaches.
I just thought that they would, I thought that they would exercise just the most abundance of caution possible, maybe even veering on the side of overcautious, just because of AD's history and frankly the stakes. Like, there's no point to bringing him back if he is going to re-injure this thing, which can't be controlled, but you at least want to put yourself in the best position possible. I mean, if nothing else, it seems like if he does not play tonight, he's absolutely going to play Saturday versus Boston, unless the reason he doesn't play is some type of setback. It's incredible news, and it is quicker, like you said, than I expected too. So awesome.
Yeah, and so the Lakers need they're gonna, maybe not tonight against San Antonio. You hope you don't need it tonight. I will say, I cannot believe the Lakers would put him on the floor or talk openly like they have sort of over the last few days about getting him back on the floor if they weren't pretty confident medically that, you know, like you said, like you can't control whether or not he's going to get hurt again, whether there's a recurrence to this injury, a different one, or whatever. At some point, a guy is ready to play. And if he's ready to play, waiting another week doesn't change the calculus of, you know, could he get hurt again? It's only if he's not ready to play, if they're pushing it, if he's 80% back and they're just, you know, taking a risk. I agree with you. I can't imagine that they would be that sort of reckless with the rest of the season to not wait another week if that's what it would take. So I am encouraged by this, but they do need him to get up to speed pretty quick because this road trip that they've got coming up is brutal. I mean, that is a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully too, though, you start getting this opportunity to play LeBron with AD again, with Rui Hachimura, like start getting a semblance of what Darvin wants this rotation to be. You know, it's interesting with AD hopefully coming back tonight and Hachimura playing. Over the last couple weeks with these guards that have not been available, Darvin has been, I think, forced to go bigger than his inclination, certainly earlier in the season. And I like that he seems now more comfortable with this prospect. And, you know, having AD and Hachimura can just start offering him more options in that direction. Cause like we've seen all season where that lack of size has just been missing, and the confidence that these guys have managed to build without AD, you know, for this stretch that, I mean, frankly could have buried them and it hasn't. Like, it seems like they're getting themselves in the position to try to make some type of run over, you know, February, like, and really define themselves who they are.
I think so. I mean, I think the thing that you can point to this team and say is like, they certainly have an identity as a group that does not quit, a group that believes that they can win games, that they can play themselves back into games, that they may have seen to play themselves out of, and they have
and play shown, themselves back in without AD though.
Right. I mean, and they've shown, huge. Right. And they've shown that it's not like false bravado or something. Like, they really have done that a lot. And so, you combine that with the fact, you know, they mentioned they got good news about Austin Reeves, who's done some full speed running and all that kind of stuff. And now he's in that place where, you know, it's a matter of kind of seeing how he responds to stuff. You know, he sprinted Monday for the first time, Jovan Buha reports. And so like, he's getting closer, and you can see a lineup where it's like, pick a point guard. So your point about size, Andy, it's pick a point guard, you know, with like Reeves, Hachimura, LeBron and Davis, that's pretty good size out on the floor. Like, you can start running with very viable lineups, or something with Thomas Bryant in that group, reserve units that have the ability to be bigger, you know, it with more versatility than you get with Wenyan. There's just the Hachimura thing is valuable because it it resets the rotation in ways that make much more sense.
Well, you know, Lonnie Walker also, I mean, at least the last time I saw, had been designated day to day, even though we haven't necessarily gotten any details about when he may return. But I know I said a couple weeks ago that I don't think he's going to start once he's back. Like, and that was well before Hachimura came in as another size option for them. I just, it was sort of like the point that I was getting at earlier with Darvin becoming more comfortable playing a little bit bigger or sort of splitting the difference. You know, I heard Ramona Shelburne on one of the ESPN shows talking about how the Lakers kind of see Hachimura as not the exact type of player, but from a functionality standpoint, somebody who can do for them what Markieff Morris did for them during the championship year and kind of provide that, what I used to call medium ball size. Because, you know, when the Lakers used to play medium ball, they were still pretty
big. They were really big. They were still very big.
They just weren't gigantic like in their starting lineup version. But Darvin pretty clearly likes this starting backcourt of Schroeder and Beverly. And I don't expect that to change. But part of the problems that came with them earlier in the season that I know I used to harp on a lot is because combined with Lonnie, you were just forcing everybody to play up. If you have either Thomas Bryant in the starting lineup or Rui Hachimura in the starting lineup or Troy, I mean, however you want to do this, all of a sudden that backcourt becomes much more viable.
Yeah,
because and at least you have three normal size guys out there.
It helps that the Lakers have been getting much more production from Wenyen Gabriel, from Thomas Bryant, you know, who was injured at the beginning of the year. I think he's just got, I think he's got more confidence in those individual players. And then guys like Walker had started to play themselves out of the lineup because he wasn't defending. And so it's just, you know, he's, Ham's going to have the ability to mix and match based on, you know, really kind of put his money where his mouth is regarding defense, regarding principles, regarding all these other things, because you have other options.
Yeah.
The Lakers made the trade for Hachimura this week. That was one that got Lakers fans excited. Rob Pelinka, when he introduced Hachimura to the media before Tuesday's game, was asked about the potential for future moves this season, including those two first-round picks, Andy. And his quote was interesting. We'll talk about it next. All right, so Rob was asked about the prospect of continuing to make deals, continuing to trade players or assets, including those two first rounders, the 27 and the 29 that they currently control and have the ability to move, you know, perhaps at the deadline. And he said this: "I think the calculus for the Lakers is to win a championship or not. There's no in-between or incremental growth. So as we analyze opportunities, we have to do it through that lens. And I said this at the beginning of the season, that there's an opportunity to get all the way to the end and win a championship. There's no resource we'll hold on to if we feel like that's there. But at the same time, the completely unwise thing to do would be to shoot a bullet early and then not have it later when you have a better championship move to make. That's a really delicate calculus. It's something that the entire front office, we evaluate with all the moves. If we see a move that puts us as a front runner to get another championship, the 18th one here, we'll make it. And if that move doesn't present itself, we'll be smart and make it at a later time." Andy, how many times after you saw this quote did you bang your head against the wall? Are you feeling okay? Do you have a concussion?
I mean I never feel okay. That's just, some of that is just, I mean, I can't put this on Rob Pelinka.
No, I mean, you're an old person. Yeah, I get it,
getting older,
you know, you have a teenager children. At home. I understand. Yeah. All this.
Yeah, teenager, she might as well be a teenager. But anyway, as I tweeted out, if this is applied literally, it is an incredibly self-limiting way to build teams. And look, you can give Rob Pelinka the benefit of the doubt that he was talking specifically about those two first-round picks in terms of the calculus. And You and I have all season been proponents of the idea of you need to be careful with how you use those two picks, because they are the only two picks that right now they fully control to make some type of move, you know, or that they could use on a draft day deal, something like that. Like, they are a team of limited assets. So
it's not that you can it's not worrying about who you're going to draft in 2027. It's that you can only trade the pick one time. So you better make it, you better do it right when you do it.
Right. And, you know, as much as the Lakers have stayed in it throughout being under 500 the whole season, that is, without taking credit away from them from fighting and the improvement that we've seen over this season, it's also the Western Conference cooperating. In a normal year, it really wouldn't matter. But my concern is that this reflects what seems to be Rob Pelinka's, and really even the organization at large, their view of team building and what really matters with team building. And it's interesting, and this will come up either later this week or maybe next week. I had been thinking about Rob Pelinka as a GM and some of the moves that he made this year, and wondering if there is a possibility that he is maybe not given enough credit for what he did this year by people like you and me, much less everybody else who pays attention to this team. I've been thinking about it. I want to, you know, marinate it on a little bit more before getting into it. But even with that, there's still the idea, though, of just that there's no in-between. There's nothing incremental. That is a terrible way to go about team building, because it limits your options in terms of approach, in terms of what you do, and even recognizing LeBron is 38 years old, so your runway is pretty short compared to other team building exercises. I just get concerned that this is how they view it. We need to do it as instant ready as possible.
Well, I will disagree a little bit with that, because I think when he's talking about incremental, when people talk about incremental progress and stuff like that, it's with the idea that you can then continue to build on it, continue to make the position the Lakers are in, and he is, I think, broadly correct about this, is there is the option of incremental, thanks to all the moves that they've made, the option of incremental progress really isn't there for the Lakers. You know, and well, so
yeah, but that's also because they don't believe in incremental progress.
That's true. But in this particular case, the idea that you could make this thing, get yourself close, and then follow with more moves, they don't have a lot of stuff to make those moves with.
Sure.
So I think you're right. Here's where I have a problem with this too. And I have a lot of problems with this. What the hell does that mean? What does a championship trade look like? Does that mean only something that gets you a super, like, is it a superstar? And then when he doubles down on it, maybe he's, you know, just Rob Pelinka verbal flip-flapping going on. But like, when he actually throws the word front runner in there, so not only do you got to be a contender for a title, you got to be a front runner for that trade does not exist.
Yeah, I mean,
it does not exist today.
Devil may be in the semantics, but
that doesn't exist today.
No,
it's not going to exist this summer. And what this framing does to me, and I don't think you disagree, is it also becomes the excuse to never do something, because that is such an amorphous kind of, unless I guess you thought Russell Westbrook was a championship move, but like,
but they did.
No, they did.
They presumably did not. They presumably did not do it to move backwards.
No. What does this mean? What does that mean? I keep hitting the table and my whole setup is, I'm angry. That's my problem with this, is it is an excuse. Nobody is saying the Lakers should do something for performative reasons. Well, some people are, but most Lakers fans do not want the Lakers, certainly not us, right?
We've been loudly against that all season.
Right. Performative Russ trades, or whatever it is, to look like you're doing something are really dumb. Making these trades, trading these first rounders for a deal that isn't good and doesn't significantly improve the Lakers is dumb. It is. And I agree with that. But if you're going to set the bar at it, you know, as a trade that makes it so they're a championship favorite, a front runner, an even money, whatever the calculus, like, where are you going to find that deal? You have to take a swing with the understanding that the swing probably isn't going to get you all the way there. And if they're unwilling to do that, they're not going to do anything. And if you're going to have Anthony Davis and LeBron James around at all, you got to do something, whether it's now or this summer.
That gets to, you know, the question I've raised before of tearing it down, because by the standards that you have boxed yourself into, you can't do anything. Like, you know, the idea that they're keeping LeBron and AD around because they're afraid of the irrelevance of not having them, but they're also not really to fully commit to them. Because as much as, you know, they made this move for Hachimura, and that's great, and we both love the trade. We really like it.
No reason not to. Yeah.
Yeah. When we like the idea that he's going to be potentially a piece moving forward, they also didn't really make any sacrifice for him. Kendrick Nunn, with everybody healthy, is out of the rotation. 3 second-round picks. Second-round picks matter, but second-round picks are also really easy to get back. Like, they were kind of trading back and forth.
They traded Washington's 2 of the picks that they got, the picks that they got from Washington.
Second-round picks are basically like white elephant exchange gifts at a party. They're like re-gifted blenders. Like, they move all across the league.
Yeah. And as much as I like Hachimura and as much as I like the deal, they, you know, Rob had a quote, you know, talking about how he, you know, is this unique 3-and-D player and all this other stuff. That's like, that is true in terms of like why Washington drained. We remember when we scouted him and all these, he's 24 years old. He's got a lot of potential. He fits what they need from a size. He has not been any of those things. He has not been a reliable 3-and-D player in the NBA. He has not been a versatile, sort of do everything kind of guy that Pelinka was talking about. He hasn't been that guy. The hope is he can be here, particularly in a situation where contextually he's not the 9th pick in the draft anymore. That is no longer a relevant part of his biography. He's a guy that the Lakers picked up to try to be a role player. That's going to, you know, if they sign him to a new contract after this year, it's going to be in that $8 to $11 to $12 million range. It's not going to be 24, 25. He's not that guy. But the Lakers don't need him to be. They didn't invest that in him. But he has never been that guy yet. And so, you know, this is a good move. But if the next one has to be championship caliber,
it has to be Pau Gasol.
I don't think that deal for 2 first
round picks. It has to be Anthony Davis.
I guess, you know, if you wait till the summertime, you wait till draft, you have now the third one, you have your own pick this year, you know, which is going to be in the 20s because New Orleans been pretty good. You have more options in the summertime. Maybe something pops up. But even then, even in the summertime,
that becomes a really
high bar if it's got to be front runner for a championship, money for a championship kind of thing. That's tough.
It's also going to be difficult because with Hachimura, assuming they're committed to him, they've already cut into the space that you would trade into. Like,
whatever it is, maybe if you're removing salary out, I'm just saying it's really hard to construct.
They won't have
deals.
Salary to move out. There's nobody on the roster. They don't have anybody.
It is. Yeah. And it's we're talking about a team right now that I know you're reconsidering Pelinka's, you know, work this year or whatever. And it's a worthy thing to do. Everybody should reexamine their assumptions consistently. And I think at some point we might all have to be like, you know, okay, it's working out better than it looked like. They're what, 4 games under 500 right now for reasons that were patently obvious to a lot of observers going into the season. And so maybe they can fix it. But this kind of performative. I feel like this in a lot of ways is performative championship or bust in a way that also allows them to use the, we only care about titles, reputation of the Lakers as a shield for doing nothing because they are either unwilling to, maybe for financial reasons, maybe, or because they're just flat scared to do it.
Okay. That my closing point, you led me there. If this is something they are, that Rob Pelinka is saying because he feels like the fan base eats up those platitudes and the Lakers mythology, fine, whatever. I mean, you know, it is the, we only play for championships is something that a section of the Lakers fan base does eat up. We've covered this team and interacted with fans long enough to know that is true. But if he is actually reflecting in very literal, transparent terms the way they think about doing business, that is a problem. Because it ain't how the real world works.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, going to keep them from doing anything. Yeah. All right. Okay, hey, you know, magical thinking. A miracle could fall in their laps. It's happened to the Lakers as a franchise multiple times. It really has. I mean, Magic Johnson being a great example of that. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show. I don't want to be like a downer. Like, at least I am feeling pretty good. The Anthony Davis is coming back. They're going to get Hachimura in the lineup. LeBron is healthy and playing, like, at, you know, incredibly well. Like, there's some stuff to be excited about.
They are legitimately playing over the last few months like a solid team. They don't have their act together entirely. They've had issues closing, things like that. But they've also pulled out some good wins. Like, they're a solid team right now. Like, fans should enjoy watching these guys. If nothing else, they play their asses off, which could not be said about last year's team at all.
Last year didn't get off their ass to play.
No.
So
they added ass last year. Their asses actually grew over the
course.
We've
hit our ass
season.
Quota for the evening based on channel rules. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show and watch us get really frustrated when Rob Pelinka says stuff we don't like. We will be back Wednesday, hopefully talking about a Lakers win and to preview a very fun and very difficult road trip. See everybody next time.